You can go ahead and start, Kim. This is Lessons from the Upper Room, Week 2. I love how John chapter 13, I think verse 1 ends with, and Jesus wanted to show them the full extent of his love. And I just wanted to start this morning just by saying, Jesus loves you. That's such a Sunday school thing. But it's true, and every once in a while, us girls just need, somebody needs to look us in the eye and say, Jesus loves you. And like I told you last week, I think it's so kind of the Lord that on Valentine's Day, when we're already kind of thinking about this, he gives us this passage about his love and charging us to love one another. So let's just get started where we're picking up for this lesson. John 13, verse 18. I'm going to read a little and then we'll pray. Starting in verse 18, Jesus said, I am not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it happens, so that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him and asked Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple leaned back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And Lord, we ask you again to open our hearts to every word that you desire to whisper into our hearts today. Lord, whether through the scripture, through my words, through that soft voice of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we want to be open. We want to dive into this passage and understand the depths of your love, the full extent of your love for us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, just as a little review from last Friday, you know, I said we were going to look at some theological things and some application things, and last Friday we learned Jesus said, you know, a person who's had his whole body washed doesn't need to wash all over again, just his feet that get dirty in the world. And we learned that, you know, once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's a one-time thing. But we do need that daily cleansing. We need to come to him daily for cleansing. And then we saw Jesus laid aside his outer garment and took up the towel and ministered that service to his disciples. And we also realized that Jesus was charging us to do the same thing in life, to lay aside our outer garment. The girls over here created a symbol for that, a little cheer for that, whenever they're called upon to do something that maybe they don't want to do to serve someone else. It's just like, off it goes, throw it aside, and now I will do, through the power of the Holy Spirit, what God's calling me to do to serve someone else. So if you all want to adopt that, it's fine. It goes like this, right? Off and down, laying aside the outer garment. And so now the evening continues in this passage, and Jesus has more that he wants to say to his men. But have you ever used the term, there's an elephant in the room, right? There's this thing in the room that's really troubling Jesus. I can't imagine the tension that must be created in a group of people smaller than this when Satan is at work so significantly in one of them. Can you imagine that tension? Maybe if you're a feeler, you feel tension from time to time with people. But it must have been pretty amazing. And so this, Jesus mentions this prophecy from Psalm 41 about his betrayal. And the reason he does it is so that the disciples, once they look back on this time, they will be encouraged again that all of this was in God's mind. He knew it from the beginning. This betrayal isn't something that, oh, we should have stopped this. How often do we even think that in our lives, don't we? Something comes into our life and we look at our own actions and we think, I should have stopped this. Maybe it's something God had intended for us from the beginning. But Jesus mentions this prophecy and ministers that to them. And it was a good thing for them to know that God had this in mind. And it's a good model for us too, so that we know when we look at prophecy in the Bible, we know Jesus is the one that was always pointing to. And the application, obviously, too, we can have an assurance that in our lives, sometimes when evil, trouble, bad things come in, it didn't catch God by surprise. God was not surprised. If there had been a prophecy that the Lord had written about our lives, maybe some of those things would have been contained. In fact, I just thought of this now. When Paul was ordained in 86 in Montana, and there was a man with a prophetic gifting, and he, among other things, he said, I will not spare you from the troubles of life. God could say that to each one of us, right? I will not spare you from the troubles of life. We know that it takes conflict and tension to build up the Christian, to build up the believer. But anyway, that's a little bit of a side comment. Let's go back to the passage in verse 31. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Isn't it fascinating that as soon as the betrayer was revealed, now is the Son of Man glorified? And Jesus's unique glory was about to be revealed through his death. This was the beginning. This was the beginning. The chain of motion the chain of actions had been set in motion. And the Father was going to be glorified through Jesus' death as well, because God's love is going to show. God's love is going to be glorified, become the primary thing now through the death of Jesus. And his love to us, his particular condescension to us to give us his Son, that's like amazing. That's epic. And that glory was beginning to be revealed, made clearly known. 1 John 4:9-10 says, this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. I started off saying to you this morning, Jesus loves you. This is how we know his love. He came into the world and gave his life for us. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so we're getting to the heart of the issue. And you know, whenever we come together and go through a passage, there are multiple things that we could talk about in that passage. And I just always ask the Lord, what do you want for us today in this room? Even as you've gone through the lesson in your book, there are some things that are highlighted and that might become very real to you. But I always trust that when we come together, the Holy Spirit is speaking and working something unique in particular. And this is the heart of the issue that we get to now. And Jesus says to them in verse 33, I think, I can't see the little tiny numbers very well. So if I say a wrong, I can read the words, but there's little tiny numbers. That's the challenge. Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I get the sense in this verse of a mama leaving the house. When Jesus says to them, when he says, little children. I kind of get a picture in my mind of, like, you know, there's plenty of times when I left the house, I said, kids, okay, nobody, I don't want any blood, I don't want anything, you know, I mean, I'm just like, and there's times that I'd leave the house and I'd go, I'd want to gather them all up at the door, right? And I want to gather up and look in their faces and say, okay, you guys, I love you so much. I want you to, you know, but if I'm leaving to go do something, and that's what Jesus was doing here. He was preparing to leave to do something that they could not come and join him with, and that was going to the cross. They had joined him with just about everything he had done, but now was different, and he's saying, little children, I'm leaving here, and you can't come with me. And I think about John listening to that. Have you ever heard somebody say a word or a phrase, and in your mind you kind of go, oh, I like that, I'm going to use that. And then you use it, right? Multiple times it like becomes yours. I do that all the time. I don't have any good phrases of my own. I only steal other people's. And I try it out and I think, that sounds pretty sharp. I think I'll keep using that. But this is the only time Jesus uses that Greek word that is translated here, little children. Only time. But John was listening. He loved it. John picked it up. He used it 7 times in his epistles. It became a favorite of him, to where when he was the elder and they'd bring him in on a stretcher and everybody wanted to hear what the apostle John had to say, he would raise up his head and he'd go, little children, love one another. But Jesus is calling attention. He's using something new and different to really grab their attention and say, I'm going to go now. And then he goes on to say, a new commandment I give you. Remember, he's got their attention. He's gathered them up, little children. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this verse is our main course for today. This is our meat and potatoes for today. So let's take it apart. A new command. This is fresh. It's not new. Jesus, John even said, this is from the beginning. So it's not new in that's brand new information, but it's fresh. And it's going to be made new in the way, in what's going to happen in the next 24 hours in Jesus' life. So a new command I give you. These are Jesus' words. He particularly gave it to them. That you love one another, just as I have loved you. He's the model. He is the example. He's not asking anything that he did not model. And he repeats the instruction, just like you would do to children. You also are to love one another. Again, he told them. He said he was the example. He told them again. And then he said, here's the result. All people will know that you belong to me. People will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, we might say the same thing to our children as we gather them up to get ready to go do something that they can't come and do with us. We might gather them up and say, little children, I want you to be kind to one another. I want you to love one another, take care of one another, watch out for one another. Everybody's going to know you obey me and you love me if you obey what I say. In fact, I had sewn together a connection between love. I had looked up all the verses I could find that use both love and obey, and I'd written them down in my little pink journal, and I was going to just pause here and read through all those, but I forgot my pink journal at home, so I'm like, oh, Lord, I guess that's just not something you want us to camp on, but you might enjoy going through this next section of John and 1 John and look for all those times where you see love and obey, because they're the same thing. If you love me, you will obey me. The one who obeys me is the one who loves me. Do you remember when we were talking about, that clock that I had when we were talking about the fear of the Lord and how it would lead, you know, around? It's the same thing. If obedience is on one side, obedience leads to love, and love leads to obedience. And you kind of go around and around this circle. But this is what Jesus is saying. So what I want to do this morning is just dialogue a little bit. What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean? And I want to go into some scriptures to give us practical advice, because to me, like I've said, it's like raindrops. Love one another. I can't pick up that drop and hold it in my hand. I need something more practical, something more substantial. So as I take you through just a few of these scriptures, if the Holy Spirit just kind of, speaks something to you, just jot it down. You can share in your group. But I want to start in 1 John 3, 16 and 17. And John says, this is how we know what love is. Remember, I asked, what does it mean to love one another? John says, this is how we know what love is. First of all, Jesus laid down his life for us. That's how we know what love is. There was an example given to us, the extreme. I think we can all agree that's the pinnacle of love. And then John goes on to say, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And he gives us two very good practical examples. He says, for example, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And so we see a model of love in the simplicity of caring for one another in our physical needs. And John goes on to say, let us not love with words or tongue, but in actions and in truth. And he points us to actions to show us what love is. So then I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verses 4 through 7, we have a roadmap of a lot of those actions that help us to identify what love is. And it starts with, love is patient. Oh, merely being patient with someone is loving them. Love is kind. Showing kindness is loving them. Love does not envy. You know, that's maybe not something that we automatically think of, because in our culture, well, probably in any culture, but we can tend toward envy. We see someone else's life, relationship with their husband, their season of life, the things that they have, whatever, and there's a draw toward envy. But love does not envy another woman's position and place. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. This is giving us very practical rails to what love is. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Age also helps a lot in that, because you can't remember anything that anybody did to you before. So, you know, there's two things there. But love does not delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. I love this one. Love protects. In our speech, we can protect those people by being careful about what we would divulge in that. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. So we have a very, very practical list when Jesus says to us, little children, love one another. Well, some of these things, this is what it looks like. This is what it means. We should love in word and in deed. Romans 12, starting with verse 9, gives us a few more things. Love must be sincere. Paul tells us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, to honor one another above ourselves. Again, Paul echoes what John said, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's loving one another. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. To rejoice with those who rejoice is loving one another. It's very simple, isn't it? But just simply to rejoice with someone who is rejoicing. And then to mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Here's a very practical one. But be willing to associate with people of low position. So scripture helps us to put some feet to what Jesus said. Love one another. Little children, love one another. People will know you belong to me if you love one another. Well, I want to go back to our passage now in John. And I find it kind of, I smile when I read this, because I feel like to Peter, this whole thing that I've been talking about, this love one another, it's like, whew, that went right over his head. And he's still stuck back on, Jesus said, I'm leaving now. And so Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, "Well, where I'm going, you can't follow me right now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." And in the NLT, Peter says, "I'm ready to die for you." That's what Peter responds. "I'm ready to die for you." And I find it an interesting follow-up to Jesus' command to love one another, because I have observed in life, it is easier to have a passion to die for Jesus than to live for him. You know, and Peter was saying, "I'll die for you." Well, can you live for me? Loving one another is not easy. I don't know, maybe it's easy for all of you, but I need the Holy Spirit to do it in me. It's almost easier to say, I heard somebody say one time, if somebody was pointing the gun and, you know, "Deny Christ or I'm going to shoot you," it's like, go, fine. But to love someone that's been persecuting you and to do kindness to someone, that's a little bit, you know, that takes the Holy Spirit. So the command to love one another is to be lived out. But living that out does require dying to ourselves day by day. And that's why I never caught it until this time through. That's why I liked what, I don't know what was in Jesus' heart, but the way I read it this year is when Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you can't follow me now." In other words, you can't come to the cross with me now, but you will follow afterward. You will go to the cross every day of your life. Afterward, you will live at the foot of the cross. You will deny yourself. You will have to crucify your flesh. So you will follow me afterward. I'm going to set this example, and then it's going to be yours, and you will follow. One final thought I have about loving others and about dying to myself is, in the upper room, Jesus was surrounded by these men who every one of them would eventually either betray him or deny that they knew him or desert him. Every one of them. And I can't be too hard on those guys because, you know, that's my nature. That is my sinful nature. If I had been there, I would have done one of those three things too. And that's the sinful nature that I live with and that I'm born with. So how do I change my nature from being a betrayer, a denier, or a deserter to being a lover? And I want you guys to hold me to something in our Bible studies. I want you to hold me accountable to never teach a Bible study that leaves you with the impression, so let's just be better at that. Let's just be more loving, because it doesn't work, right? So how do we change our nature? Well, it is Christ in me. It is Jesus living in me. It is the Holy Spirit in me. And I need to wake up every day, and you do too, and say, I don't naturally have what it takes to do all those practical things of love, but Jesus has everything that I need. So I want to tap in. Lord, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, just take over my day today. Help me to yield. Enable me to yield to you, to listen to your voice, to respond, to obey, to be minded to you. And that is how we change our nature. The elder John said in 1 John 4, he said, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." This love that Jesus is saying we should have for one another does not come from me. Love comes from God. Good thing I got God living in me, right? Christ in me. And so I have the Holy Spirit to enable me to do that. John says, everyone who loves has been born of God and he knows God. We have an intimate relationship. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So as we, and I love how Paul says at the end of Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, struggling with all of his energy, which works so powerfully in me. I just love that because I feel that myself, struggling with God's energy, and I feel when I make the choices to use my own or to use the Lord's. So all these practical ideas of what love means today, I want to challenge you to ask God to give you his energy for one practical avenue of love this weekend. Maybe even choose a challenging one as we read through those, like patient, or love is not easily angered, or love keeps no record of wrongs. Maybe something that's more challenging. And I want to challenge you to pick one, bring it to the Lord, and ask him, I want to see you do this in me, in some level, so that I can love one another. I can fulfill that command that Jesus has given us. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would stir up in us a new inspiration and a new passion for loving one another, recognizing, Lord, it's not something that we want to just work harder at and try to be better at, but Lord, what we really need to do is come to the cross and admit that we are weak, and that when we are weak, you are strong, and that you will do this work in us. Lord, may that be a habit of ours. May we be known to be like Jesus, to be your disciples, because of the love that we have for one another. And Lord, I pray that for those of us that just might feel like there has been some failure in that command to love one another, Lord, we just bring it to you right now. We bring it to you all carefree, just like a little child, since that's what you're calling us in this passage. We bring it to you and say, we have failed. We have not measured up. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. And we ask that you would equip us with your power, and that you would give us everything that we need for life, for godliness, for loving one another, starting today, starting this weekend, that we might be practically your hands and feet on this earth, and that we might just enjoy deeper fellowship with you, Lord, from obeying you and loving one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.